Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, notice again, cannot be my disciple. Notice how clear Jesus is? I mean, people sometimes suggest he's not. Look at how clear he is. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Not exactly easy believism here, is it, from Jesus? Not exactly. The moment the disciples hear the word cross, they think death.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We are a regular radio program that seeks to lift high the glorious name and worth of the Lord Jesus Christ through the unapologetic preaching of His Word. Now, that sounds complicated, but let me put it this way. We teach the Bible, and the Bible teaches Jesus, and we love that. Hey, last time we met together, our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons, walked us through some critical truths for those of us who follow Jesus. And the truth that we come to today is no less important. Today we count the cost of what it means to follow Christ. Now, to follow anything, to really follow anything, you got to realize that that will mean that you will leave things behind. There will be a cost. Now, today in God's Word, as Robbie walks us through, we're going to see Jesus speaking exactly about the things we must be prepared to leave behind. If you're able to, please open your Bible to Luke chapter 14, and let's turn in to Pastor Robbie with more of today's message.
Paradigm of personhood that is often weaponized for psychological, sexual, and therapeutic triumph. Okay, so modern day formulations of identity, which is the love of self, has yielded a paradigm of personhood that has now been weaponized for psychological, sexual, and therapeutic triumph over anything and everyone else. So any claim then, this is where we live, this is very, very astute. Any claim then that would threaten one's self-chosen sense of self-conception, let's say like the Bible and Jesus Christ and objective truth and absolute truth, any claim such as that against self-conception, sexual freedom, and therapeutic needs is not only improper, but now is close to possibly becoming criminal if it isn't already. Think, pause, look, digest. Let me give you a second. Very, very important wisdom of our day, of where we live. Notice, and it's all rooted obsessively in the love of self. The love of self so much to the point there is now no more God. We are now elevated as God, and we decide precisely and exactly who we are, what we think, based on what we feel is best for us out of love for ourselves. It's such a critical time for the wisdom of God, isn't it? It's such a critical time to renew our minds. In what? In where true blessing lives. Where true blessing lives. See, the last thing Jesus teaches is the rise in love of self. The last thing Jesus teaches. In fact, Jesus fundamentally teaches the death of self. He's completely opposite to everything we just heard that the world is obsessed with. Why does Jesus do this? Because Jesus knows when we die to self, we live for Christ. And when we live for Christ, we live in love and joy and peace and freedom and blessing and true prosperity of joy of the soul. You must die to live is the essence of the gospel. When we live for Christ, it's here that we actually start to live. The power to overcome our sin, the releasing of joy. And again, inherent and the essence of the gospel is the crucifixion leads to resurrection. We must be crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Again, the essence of the gospel is we die to live. John 12, Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. If it doesn't die, it remains alone. But if it dies again, it will bear much fruit. You must die to live. And it comes at a cost to self with the promise of incredible joy. you know, just a few chapters from where we are in Luke 14, Luke 17. I want to put these on the screen for you here. I want to see this too. Luke 17, look how similar this is right here. Look what Jesus says. Remember Lot's wife. Isn't that such an interesting three words? What's up with Lot's wife? Lot's wife was taken out of Sodom, but Sodom wasn't taken out of Lot's wife. She turned back and she paid with her life. She longed and loved the world more than her God. Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. How many in the soils that Jesus teaches in and the different soils and the weeds come up and the thorny soil and the persecution or the, again, the pleasures of the world, they distract, they discourage, they remove people from following Jesus Christ. They don't make it. Remember Lot's wife. Who's that for today? I mean, look at his lesson from this phrase, remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever seeks to love themselves will lose. Whoever seeks to idolatrously love themselves, they will die. Whoever seeks to live at all in self-autonomy, you will perish. But whoever loses his life, whoever dies to self, whoever chooses to count all things as loss, they will keep it. They will save themselves. They will find the love of Jesus Christ. And you know how many times Jesus teaches this truth because it's such a big deal. Lot's wife, she longed for the world and she died. But to lose your life is to find true life. Loved ones, if we're gonna make it in the last days, it has to come at a cost of self. The cost of self, but the gain is Christ. How massive that is for last days, isn't it? How massive it is for right now. I become less, Jesus Christ becomes more. You know who got this of all people? Napoleon. Napoleon understood this. Let me read you this quote just as we move on to our next point. Napoleon said this. He says, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there's no possible term of comparison. Alexander the Great, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Look what he says here. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. In this hour, millions of men and women would die for him. Why? I mean, he understood this, right? Because again, when you've been given the greatest treasure in the history of the universe, there's nothing else you need. And you will die for that in a heartbeat. You joyfully live at a cost because you've already been given everything. That's the gospel. That's what it means to follow Christ. This is what Jesus is speaking of in verse 26. Number two is this. We must count the cost of suffering. This is a very powerful lead into this. Look at verse 27 now. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, notice again, cannot be my disciple. Notice how clear Jesus is. I mean, people sometimes suggest he's not. Look at how clear he is. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Not exactly easy believism here, is it, from Jesus? Not exactly. The moment the disciples hear the word cross, they think death. Whoever does not bear his own cross, no, his own cross. Everyone knew Jesus meant here. To carry a cross was a one-way journey. The Roman instrument of horrible death and crucifixion. A cross was an instrument of humiliation, of torture, of loneliness, and death. Whoever does not bear his own cross. You know, Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago, and the early church would find out fast what he meant. Then there's us within our historical Christian society, we have experienced incredible blessing and peace and freedom in the 150 plus years in the history of our nation. It's been remarkable, hasn't it? But we know that's changing. We also know it's not that way for so many across the world who confess Jesus Christ. Millions of Christians today live under the threat of death today. Every single day, Christians are being murdered for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Ministry Open Doors explains that in countries like North Korea, India, Afghanistan, Iran, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Eritrea, and Yemen, a dozen Christians die every single day for their love for Christ. Simply because they love Jesus Christ, they are put to death. So every day, right now, across this world, like every hour that we're awake this day, Christians and disciples of Jesus Christ will literally be living out Luke 14, verse 27, literally. They will be giving their lives out of love for Jesus Christ. And we know as Christians, even in our society, we know that different forms of suffering are getting closer and closer to home. We know that the name of Jesus has never been more under attack. We know that there are agendas all over the place, specifically against Christ, his church, and his word. We know that subtle persecution is ever increasing and becoming not so subtle in the forms of intolerance, verbal attacks, and legal activities. We know that entire forms of government are closing in on religious liberty and freedom, specifically, again, targeting Christians. We know the increasing satanic hatred for Christ is becoming more and more obvious. We know the flavor of the Antichrist is growing with each day, and that's what it is. It is Antichrist. It's not anti-Muhammad or anti-Buddha. It is Antichrist. Well, listen, just as Jesus promised. Just as Jesus promised. My loved ones, as I say that, some of us are listening and we're tempted with fear. We're so filled with fear because we're so concerned with self. And we're so concerned with the self-love of comfort and security. I know, I feel it too. And we're so concerned again with our own status and where things are. But again, listen. Don't be tempted with fear. Don't be scared. Be prepared. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is the calling. These are the proper expectations. Jesus has made it so clear. There has to be a cost in following Christ. The whole point of our passage is says, make sure you count the cost. Make sure you know what you're signing up for. Hardship now, heaven to come. Lose life now, find life forever, by faith in Jesus Christ. The cross before me, the world behind me, the world behind me, the cross before me, world behind me, the cross before me. Look at verse 28. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Amazing here. Jesus is front-loading. He's like, count the cost. Why? Otherwise, you won't make it. See how clear that is? He's like, you better be aware again what you're about to do. Because if you don't count the cost, man, you're going to be greatly disappointed. And it's not going to work out great. You know, a few years ago, Joel Osteen wrote a book, Your Best Life Now. It was a bestseller, but it was the worst theology. It was a bestseller. Feeds into what everyone wants to think and believe. It's the worst theology. Your Best Life Now. Consider even that title. It is the exact opposite message of Jesus Christ right here in our text. It's the exact opposite message of what Jesus is saying. Which means that that book title and that teaching is false. It's false. It's directly opposing the message of Jesus. Just consider the effort and passion of Paul and Peter and John and James. Consider the effort they go to in the New Testament to provide a theology of suffering. Why? Because they were discipled by Jesus. And they were discipled by Jesus to count the cost and live for future glory. our citizenship is in heaven. The surpassing worth of Christ. I set my mind on things above. The living hope that is to come again, that awaits me. It's such a game changer to live this way. See what Jesus is doing here too? He's like, count the cost. Why? Because backsliding hurts the church so much. People come in, they don't count the cost, they fade away, they're not real, they're gone. The greatest prevention of backsliding is to teach people to count the cost of following Christ. It purifies the church. Notice that the core of this text really is expectations, right? Expectations. And the reason many falter is because their expectations are not aligned with truth and reality. Consider a couple that walk into marriage and their expectations of marriage are ease and no pain, all good all the time. They're going to get smoked, right? They're going to get smoked because that's not reality. Marriage is hard work. And there's pain and there's tears and there's grief and there's heartache and there's disappointment. It's called life. Having right expectations changes marriage. Imagine Christians then that walk into discipleship with expectations of ease and painlessness. If that's their expectations, they have not been taught the scriptures. They have been following false teachers who have led them astray, and they will be greatly, greatly shocked. On this note, G.K. Chesterton, he said this on the screen for you. He said, the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. It's not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. And that's a good lead into our final point here. Number three is this. This cost will necessitate sacrifice, God help us. Verse 31. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. So this is a very interesting little parable, a second little parable that Jesus gives. Here's some clarity. If the first parable from Jesus is sit down and count the cost of following Christ, if the first parable is sit down and count the cost of following Christ, the second little parable is sit down and count the cost of not following Christ. So what do you mean? Be sure of this. There's a great cost to following Christ. Listen carefully. Everyone listening right now, old, young people right now, there's a greater cost to not follow Jesus Christ. There's a much greater cost in rejecting Jesus Christ. Again, this fascinating teaching here. So many have failed to count the cost of rejecting Christ. They're going out to war to meet another army. They simply cannot win. No one will ever defeat God. When Jesus Christ returns to judge, and he comes again to take those who are his and oppose all those who are not, all those who have rejected him. No one opposing Jesus Christ is going to win. The cost of not following Jesus Christ is immense. So many right now in their sin and pride have failed to make peace with God. Notice that phrase right there. He sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So many have failed to make peace with God through Jesus Christ, through repentance of sin and belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment Jesus Christ returns, it'll be too late. And then any cost of following Christ will seem like nothing. But now the cost of rejecting Christ is going to be eternally, eternally impactful. The seriousness of what Jesus teaches us today. This cost will necessitate sacrifice. And from that, we see verse 33. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is another shocking statement from Jesus. I'm sure the crowd right now is baffled. Many are already starting to turn and walk away. They don't like what they're hearing. They wanted to sign up for some bread that was given to them miraculously. And here they are hearing this message of death to self and all this hardship and difficulty. The phrase renounce all that he has carries the idea of saying goodbye to. Isn't that awesome? Whoever does not say goodbye to all that he has, just the idea of saying, I don't need it. I say goodbye to it. I release my hands of that. I'm not going to hold on to that. I'm willing to renounce all that I have. I say goodbye. Ultimately, I say goodbye to the house and bye to the car and bye to the things I own and bye to future hopes and bye to vacation and bye to the, just at the end of the day, I count all things as loss is another way to say it. I say goodbye to all these things that have no ultimate value. And I say hello to Jesus Christ. Notice again, don't miss it. The third time Jesus says, he who does not do this cannot be my disciple. Do you notice how passionately Jesus is against half-heartedness? He's just not into apathy. Why? Ready? Because half-heartedness will not survive in the last days. Because people who live in lukewarm living and half in the world and half over here, whatever, they won't make it. They don't have the strength. Their expectations are not there. Their faith is not strong enough. They're ultimately trying to live again for both at the same time. You cannot serve both God and money. They will not survive the last days. Sacrifice will be required, right? And I love this. And just maybe to end, I think of the parable of the hidden treasure, one of my all-time favorites. A man, he goes and he stumbles across a treasure in a field. He sees the treasure. He finds out instantly the worth of the treasure. He goes then, he sells everything that he has. He buys the field. He gets the field. He gets the treasure. Okay? When he has the treasure, that's all he ever needs. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. Now notice here, the man comes, he sees the treasure. The treasure is Jesus Christ. He sees the worth, the infinite worth of the treasure. If I have the treasure, I have everything I've ever needed. Notice, the treasure leads to joy. In his joy, the text says, he renounces everything. He sells everything in his joy to get the treasure. Notice, the treasure leads to joy. The joy leads to sacrifice. But the sacrifice is so wanting. There's not a grumpiness or a hesitancy. It's a joyful sacrifice because he's getting the greatest treasure he could ever fathom. That's the gospel. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. You can have the world. Just give me Jesus. Because if I have Jesus, I got everything I've ever needed. And therefore, any cost now will be as nothing in the time to come. God help us. God help us. Here's a few questions for us to bring it home today. I want you to take a look here. A few questions, penetrating questions for us to consider. We'll put this up after the service is done too. I think I've got some good feedback on these things. This is helpful. First question is, what might hating your own life look like right now? Remember, loving less. What does loving less your own life look like right now? Can you see evidence of sinful self-love in your life? I mean, that'd be vulnerable to say that today, right? In some measure. That'd be powerful though, wouldn't it? Just to expose that. Secondly, have you counted the cost to follow Christ? I like this right here. Do you think you're ready for what's to come? Think you're ready? You ready in lines of what Jesus has taught today? Have you really counted the cost to follow Christ? Thirdly, where can you point to sacrifice in your life for Christ? You know, like we can give in such a way out of our abundance, the Bible teaches us, or you can give sacrificially where it actually hurts. You can live in a way that's convenient, it lines up with your schedule for Christ, or you can live in a way that's sacrificial, it comes at a cost. You know, you can figure out ways to serve the Lord in ways that may even look good from the outside, but really, there's not really anything we're giving. Like, can we point to our lives and can we see that I could do this, but instead I've done this for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there sacrifice that's evident in our lives? Very, very important question to be able to ask and answer. What do you need to say goodbye to renounce today to follow Jesus? Some of you, the Holy Spirit right now is going to be saying, you know, we've been talking with this Holy Spirit. It's like, we've been talking with this for a long time. And today's the day you finally have to say goodbye, release your hands, You have to give up. You have to renounce. You've treasured it too much. It's been too much of an idol. What do you need to say goodbye to that you are ready to live with passion and joy for the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, this message today from Jesus wouldn't grow the church, but it would purify it. And I believe that's exactly why Jesus teaches such things, obviously, for us here now today. Because if we're going to make it in the last days, we have to be men and women who are willing to understand the expectations that are before us. Hard message, but I pray it's an encouraging message as only the Holy Spirit can do. Let's pray, church. Holy Spirit, I pray you are taking this word and I pray you are causing it to reach hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hearts all over the place right now. I pray you are bringing conviction and love. I pray that you are creating passion. I pray that you are giving the strength and the faith to renounce. I pray, Lord, you are causing repentance. I pray you are bringing joy and expectation, freedom. For some, Lord, this is what they've wanting to hear for so long. And now with clarity, they finally say, yes, it's so right. It's so true. It's so true. It's so true. I got to renounce these things. And Lord, in the end, that we could say with such faith, and you can have the world. You can have the world. The world stinks compared to Jesus. Just give me Jesus. If I have Jesus, I have everything I've ever needed, infinitely more than I've ever needed. That's who Jesus is. Oh, Lord, speak to us through this beautiful song now, we pray in Jesus' name. We pray for more prayer in groups. We pray for more prayer in our lives. We pray for more prayer across this church. We pray for more prayer in prayer meetings. We pray for more prayer as individuals corporately coming together. We pray for more prayer. Again, Lord, forgive us for our prayerlessness. Oh God, we believe, help our unbelief. Make us a house of prayer. What a battle that is. Satan's terrified of this message. He's terrified of this text because he knows that a church that prays, he's done. And that's why prayer is so difficult. Oh God, I pray that you will strengthen us to overcome our own flesh. So often we think of praying and then we don't do it. Holy Spirit, we need you. We pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Father, right now I pray across so many homes and hundreds of people, your children are asking. We're asking. We need you. Father, your children need you. Father, your children need you. Your children need you. Can't do it. Father, we can't do it. We're not strong enough and wise enough. We can't do it, Father. Your children, we're small and weak. We need you. Hallowed be your name. Your children need you. Please, Father, rush to the aid of your children. Help us in our time of need.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Live in the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.